Right. Over the last few months, I've been compiling the annual report, the thing that Jeremy recommended to you, and reading through the individual reports of the many different activities, groups, courses, and initiatives that are the life of St. James's. We can move away from that picture now. And I am overwhelmed by how faithful so many of you have been in wanting to see the lives of people transformed by Jesus' love. I'm overwhelmed. And as I've said before, and as Jeremy has said, if you only have a short amount of time to look at the annual report, do look at the coloured boxes that contain the comments of the people that have engaged with the different activities and been supported by, loved by, and brought to faith and to grow in faith by this church. Let me just read to you out a couple of those comments. So Gareth Bailey, the head of Southbury and St. James, said of Rob Jackson, our outreach worker who's doing mentoring there, and he's mentoring boys that are struggling for one reason or another. This is what Gareth said. Rob's mentoring is having a significant impact on the boys he is working with. They're all beginning to learn how to manage their emotions and communicate these in a constructive way. Rob is a positive male role model. The parent of a toddler who goes to our Friday morning toddler group wrote, "The toddler group can be really busy, but it's a truly friendly group, and I don't feel on edge when my son isn't having his best toddler behaving day." What a great comment. And what a great thing to provide, that a mother doesn't have to feel on edge if her kid's on one. Everyone is welcome and helpful, and that is really important to me. A person who Kate Morris, our CAP debt advisor, is supporting in their financial situation said, "I cried and feel very humbled. There are people that just want me to feel some sort of happiness and belonging." A newcomer to Campfire, our men's group that meets monthly in the Vaults pub, wrote, "What a great bunch of blokes, normal like me." He hasn't got to know me yet. "It was good to be talking with other dads who want the best for me and don't want to lead me astray and into trouble. Thank you for inviting me along." One of our guests at last year's Christmas Day lunch wrote, "Thank you all so much for such a happy Christmas Day lunch. Everything, the food, the drink, the entertainment, and even our food goodie bags was wonderful. It made such a difference to our day, and I can't thank you all enough." If you have the chance to read through that report, be wowed by what God is doing, by what is being done in Jesus' name through this church. Give prayerful thanks for the different groups, events and initiatives, and hold up in prayer all those that lead and volunteer to enable them to happen. And if you are a volunteer in any capacity at St. James, thank you so much for all you give. Working with you and with the staff team is simply the biggest privilege of being your vicar. Actually, having the job where I get to try and share the reality of Jesus and his love that he has for all things and all people is the biggest privilege. But you are a solid second, okay? You know, we really all have the same job to do, sharing the reality of Jesus and the love that he has for us. And that is what this annual report is full of. You lot, in so many different ways, showing and sharing the love of Jesus with others. A few months ago on Facebook, I shared the poster that you can read there. The best way to be a part of what is happening at St. James is to get involved. There's a follow-up poster that I've been tempted to write that reads like this. There we go. The best way to grow in faith is to get involved. These two things go hand in hand. Jesus called his disciples to be a part of what was going on, to get involved. He didn't leave them to first grow in faith and then ask them to get involved. No, he asked them to get involved and then they grew in faith. So if you are feeling on the shallow end of church life or on the fringes of your faith, may I suggest that you get involved. Join a Connect group, become a volunteer, explore a new role at St. James, Getting involved is simply the best way to make friends, to make connections, and to find people to share the ups and downs of life with. In a few short months, we have gone from sharing a vision to successfully consulting with the community, to raising most of the money for, to being on the brink of purchasing an additional building that will enable us to continue to share that good news with our community in ways that are helpful, hopeful and loving. Yet again, St. James has taken a new, radical and decisive step to follow God's call to build his kingdom and to serve our community. And yet again, I've been overwhelmed, humbled and thankful. I have been simply blown away by the prayerful, practical and financial support that comes from God's people here at St. James. There is a lot to do in the coming year to see God's vision turn into God's reality. But I am not daunted by any of it, and neither should you be. It's an exciting time, and we are guided by a God whose love for us and all he created is steadfast and endures forever. We don't know exactly when we'll get hold of this new building. It's in the hands of the solicitors. But it will be in the coming months. We don't know exactly how the use of the building will evolve in the coming years. But we intend to move our office into it as soon as possible so that we can be at the centre of what God has planned for it. And though we don't know exactly how the use of the building will evolve in the coming years, we intend to be guided by God in all that we do. So as soon as we are certain of the date, we will promote an open day for you and our neighbours to come and have a look around. We'll also put up sign-up sheets so that we can put refurbishment teams together to work alongside the contractors. But as a priority and foremost, we will hold a 24-hour time of prayer inside the building, praying that every aspect of what is done in the building will point to God's love. In the relationships that we grow with the charities that will be using those rooms, in our children's work, our youth work and our adult work that we will deliver through those rooms, in the support, time and attention that we give to one another and to others, we will pray for God's will to be done and for his kingdom to come through what we do in that building. We will pray, and we should be praying already, that it will show to all the reality of Jesus and the love that he has for each one of us. A fortnight ago, after church, a member of the church told me of an incident involving two of their friends, that happened during the preceding week. Now, neither of this person's friends come to St. James. One was feeling low, so the other arranged to go for a jog and a chat with her. During the run, the one who had been feeling low shared with her friend just how low she'd been feeling, how lonely she was. And she said to her friend that she felt like no one loved her at all. By this point, they'd stopped jogging. Her friend looked up and noticed something and pointed. She pointed to a sign that simply read, "You are loved." They'd stopped outside this church. Apparently, they stood there for a while, staring at the sign, and were both in tears. In this bonkers, mad, wonderful, joyous, sad, lonely, beautiful, hectic, ever-changing world, we all need to know that we are loved, and we all need to know whom we are loved by. Do you want those two joggers to know who is the true author of that sign? That is our job. That is our joy. That is what we are bound for and created for. On the one hand, to receive the love that Jesus has for each one of us, and on the other hand, to be a sign pointing to him. And again, that is what the annual report is full of. You lot, in so many ways, showing, pointing to, and sharing the love of Jesus. A few weeks ago at the 11 a.m. Easter Sunday service, that was what was happening. When some of you shared how God's love had endured in your lives, on the one hand sharing in your weakness and doubt and vulnerability the love that God had for you, and on the other hand, the testimonies that you shared clearly pointing to the author of that love. And that is what we long for with this new building, that it will be a place where we and our community will receive the love that Jesus has for us, and at the same time will be an enduring and steadfast sign pointing to Jesus and that love. Though I am not doubted by the work to be done, I think the next while, in many ways, will be a bit tougher for St. James. Not because we are doing something wrong. I believe that we are doing what we are being called to do. And as long as we continue to be humble in prayer before God, we will not go far wrong. So not because we are doing something wrong, but because we are doing something for his kingdom. We have chosen, as St. James has done so in the past, to take a risk for his kingdom. We have chosen not to be complacent. And this is simply going to make things a bit tougher. And the area that I foresee being toughest actually involves the relationships that we have with one another. In the busyness, in the stepping out into new things whilst maintaining existing stuff, in each of us having our own desires and priorities, and with each of us having our own things to do, our relationships with one another will, at times, be put under pressure and tested. But how we do these things together is as important for the building of God's kingdom as what it is that we are doing. Or to put it another way, there is no point building a centre to serve the wider community if we end up not functioning together as a community, as a family. So I am going to suggest three things that will help us go forward. Humbly suggest three things for you to consider. Number one, look out for one another. Tomorrow is the start of Mental Health Awareness Week. At St. James, we have often spoken about how we have mental health in the same way that we all have physical health. Sometimes we can feel in good overall physical health and sometimes not so good. Some parts of our physical health can be better than other parts of our physical health. There are times that we're struggling with short-term physical health issues, like a cold, and there are times when we can be struggling with longer-term, recurring and chronic issues. And all that is true about our physical health is also true about our mental health. So going forward, let us continue to grow in our acceptance and awareness of our own mental health and the mental health of others. As a starter, a practical starter for us all, can I recommend that we all go to the mentalhealth.org.uk website? And if you go to their website and look at the page that says how to look after your mental health, it gives 10 doable practical tips as to how to look after yourself. As a family, let's look out for one another. It's okay talking about our mental health. At St. James, one of the best ways that we can look out for one another is through the friendships that are formed through connect groups or being part of another group or activity at St. James. The connect groups are our weekly home groups that meet in different people's homes. So can I recommend those to you as well? So number two, assume the best of one another. Assume the best of one another. Saint Ignatius said this: we should be more eager to put a good interpretation on a person's statement than to condemn it. Furthermore, if we cannot interpret it favourably, we should ask the person what they meant by their statement. If they got something wrong, we should correct the person with love. If this fails, we should search out every appropriate means of understanding the statement in a good way. How often do we regret it when we jump to the wrong conclusion, misinterpret and judge harshly the motives, words or actions of others. We need to, as we move forward, assume the best of others and to seek out the understanding of someone's motives, words and actions. And this may seem a little bit left of centre or a little bit trivial compared to the work that is at hand, but my experience has been that in families, in churches and in the workplace, the misunderstanding, division, scheming and hurt that does occur can be avoided when people operate from a position of assuming the best of the other. If, like me, your experience of childhood has been a one of harsh judgments and one of suspicion of a person's motives, then maybe the Holy Spirit has some work to do in you to soften your heart so that you may be more readily able to assume the best of each other. If that is the case for you, then be encouraged. That is still a work in progress for many of us. A family, our church family, works best when it assumes the best of each other. And this is something that St. James's Church gets right. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it a wonderful thing, to be part of a family where you know the people around you are on your side, wanting the best for you and assuming the best of you. But we shouldn't be complacent. Number three, serve one another. This and the two previous suggestions are there in that readings from Galatians that was read out by Erin during the service. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. That's really interesting, isn't it? Our freedom is through serving. And what's really interesting also is if you go back to the slide from the mentalhealth.org.uk, one of those 10 tips, number 10, care for others. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence, love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will have annihilated each other. And then where will your precious freedom be? Look out for one another. Assume the best of one another. Serve one another. As in all families, we need to play our part. We need to do our bit. Getting stuck in when it comes to being family isn't an optional extra. Whatever our age, whatever our ability, whatever we're currently going through, we do what we can, and we can all pray, and we can all do our bit. Everyone does their bit. In our family, the Brindle family, we were keen that the kids got stuck into doing the dishes from an early age, which is why we have a repeat order for mugs, plates and bowls with Sainsbury's online. But you get the gist. We all do our bit. St. James is a big and busy family. We have a lot of people who serve, who volunteer routinely, and a good number that serve in many different ways. Much of the work that's needed to keep our own families running is not very glamorous, but it needs to be done. For example, we have 10 people who are on both the coffee and welcomes rota, only 10 people out of this large church family. One person, who also serves his family in loads of other ways, is on the coffee rota 6 weeks in a row this term. We need to recognise that we all are part of this family and we all have a part to play. Part of looking out for one another's well-being is to recognise the need to spread the load. And getting involved, as I've said, is the best way to be a part of what is going on at St. James and becoming more part of this family. I've said this before, but many, many years ago, I apparently gave the wrong answer to Anna when she asked the question. I should have realized when Anna asked this question what was the right answer. But I gave the wrong answer to Anna when she said, "Don't you find parenting relentless?" I gave the wrong answer. As a lot of you know, after years of Anna working from home and therefore doing most of the parenting and running the house, last September she started teacher training and things have changed in the Brindle household as a result. Though Anna still does loads of stuff, she still does most of it, I've had to step up and do more. I've had to be around more and I've had to sort things out more. In the last 6 months, I've taken the kids to the doctors, dentists and orthodontists more times than I did in the last 16 years. But, and this may seem a bit odd, being as I am actually the dad slash husband of this family, I have also become more part of my own family in the last 6 months. You know, even teenage boys and grumpy dads can discover stuff to talk about on a 3-hour round trip to the orthodontist to Bath. Mostly it was comics and music, also a list of things that I shouldn't do in public. My point is that being present is not the same as being involved, and being involved is what it is to become family. And a lot of what happens during the unglamorous routine, during that stuff that carries on and keeps us running, is the time when we become family. I want to end with a final thought. Think back to that couple, the two joggers, looking at the You Are Love sign. It is not going to be a fancy new building, nor a great and busy program of activities, nor a cool website, nor a full-color annual report that is going to show to them or anyone else who the author of that love is. But a family that looks out for one another, that assumes the best of one another, and that serves one another, might just do so. Because that is a family that resembles the author. Christ, who came to serve rather than be served. Christ, who forgives and reconciles rather than judges harshly. Christ, who inspires us to love one another as he loves us. St. James, you do this. You are a family that looks out for one another. You are a family that assumes the best of one another and serves one another. Keep it up. Keep on pointing to his love. Amen.